Welcome to the Shiur Ibn Ezra, Parsha Simcha. I wanted to share a number of Ibn Ezra's this evening that focus on the Korban Musaf of Rosh Chodesh, the additional Korban which is offered up on Rosh Chodesh. And in some ways this actually ties in a little bit with the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, which we're learning regularly. So in Perchav Ches, Pasuk Yud Aleph, we have the famous series of Pesukim which we learn every Rosh Chodesh, which begin, Uvrashe Chodsheichem Takrivu Olah Lashem. How is that to be translated? So I think the standard translation is, on your Rosh Chodeshes, right, Rosh Chodsheichem is the plural of Rosh Chodesh, the Rosh Chodoshim, on your Rosh Chodeshes, you should offer up a Korban to Hashem as follows. The Ibn Ezra, however, quotes over here, he quotes in other places in Chumash as well, an alternative explanation, which is very fascinating and may shed light on at least one of the practices that we have during the year. So I say, Ibn Ezra, Amar Rav Moshe HaKohen HaTzaydi, Nishmasor Eidah, Rav Moshe HaKohen HaTzaydi, writes as follows, Sheteirusho Chodesh Nitzah. When the Pasuk says that Roshei Chodsheichem Takrivu Olah Hashem, it does not mean, as we just translated, that on your Roshei Chodoshim generally, on your Rosh Chodeshes, that you should bring a korban to Hashem, but rather on the first of your month, in the beginning of your month, right, the head of your month, you should bring a korban to Hashem. What does that mean? So says Roshei Hakohen Hatzadi. This refers specifically to Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Because Rosh Chodesh Nisan is actually just learned last night in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, is Rosh Hashanah L'Chodashim, right? Chodesh HaZelachem Rosh Chodashim. This month, Nisan, is supposed to be the chief of the months. So V'Roshi Chashechem Takriva Olah Hashem. In other words, the Sukkim are only talking about a Karbon that is offered up on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. You say, okay, that's a very interesting pshat, but, I mean, that is extremely far from the actual practice. I mean, the actual practice is that this is the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh, not just the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, but the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh on every single Rosh Chodesh, right? So, right, the Moshe HaKohen HaTzaydi, don't be alarmed. I'm not looking to do away with the Korban Musaf 11 out of the 12 months of the year. Achar Kein Omer Zos Olas Chodesh V'Chodesho. Later on, in the paragraph, when the Pasuk says, Zos Olas Chodesh V'Chodesho, this is the Korban which you should bring month by month. Right? What that means is, Shiyasu Kein V'Chol Chodesh. Although this is fundamentally the Korban for Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the Torah is telling you should duplicate this Korban. Thank you. Should duplicate this Korban every single month. Alkein Hosef L'Chodshei Hashanah. And that's what the Pasuk means. Zos Olas Chodesh V'Chodshei L'Chodshei Hashanah. This is a Korban that should repeat it every month for the Chodshei Hashanah. The way that Ibn Ezra would explain it is for the rest of the months of the year. Fundamentally, this is a Korban for Rosh Chodesh Nisan. However, by extension, it's also a Korban for the rest of the months of the year. The advantage of that interpretation is that it takes this pasuk, Zos Olas Chodesh V'Chodesho L'Chodesho Hashanah. This is the Korban which is brought month in and month out for the months of the year, which on the surface is a totally extraneous pasuk. I mean, what is that pasuk adding? Again, in the standard interpretation that was being expounded upon here is the Korban for every Rosh Chodesh. What exactly does that phrase add? Zos Olas Chodesh V'Chodesho L'Chodesho Hashanah. On the surface, it just seems to be totally extraneous. According to the interpretation of Moshe HaKohen HaTzaydi, that pasuk is a very key pasuk, because the paragraph starts off talking about how there's a Korban for Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and then the Torah says, and by the way, for the rest of the months of the year, you should also have this Korban every Rosh Chodesh as well. Right? There is an Ezra, Upeirusho Nachon Hu. I think he's right. I think Moshe HaKohen HaTzaydi is right. Score one for the Kohanim HaTzaydi. The Av Alpi, Sheyesh L'Tzon Al Yud, Uv'Roshei Chodsheichem, even though if one was a grammarian, and it happens to be that Ibn Ezra is a grammarian, so, you know, if one was a grammarian, one could have a problem with the yod at the end of the word of the Rashi. Well, the Rashi Chadshechem sounds like on the plural, Rashi Chadashim, on the plural, Rosh Chodeshes throughout the year. It doesn't sound like the interpretation of Moshe HaKohen HaSardi on the head, the one head of all of the months, which is Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Sounds like we're dealing with the plural, not with the singular. Raktavur Shemotzonu Hinei Chodesh Machar Yashar Diburo. However, says the Ibn Ezra, we find that a regular Rosh Chodesh can be referred to not as Rosh Chodesh, but as Chodesh, just Stam, right? Just the word Chodesh can mean month, it can also mean Rosh Chodesh. But it shouldn't bother us so much the terminology of a Rosh Chodeshechem, right? In other words, what the Pasuk is saying is that, every Rosh Chodesh is referred to as Chodesh, in the beginnings of all of the Rosh Chodashim, which is Nisan, you should bring this karba. Well, let's just summarize here and see what we take away from this, besides the interpretation of the pasuk itself. What Rav Moshe HaKohen HaSfardi seems to be saying here conceptually is the following very fascinating idea. The quintessential Rosh Chodesh is Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Rosh Chodesh Nisan is not just another Rosh Chodesh, not just, one out of the 12 Rosh Chodeshim which we observe throughout the year. Rosh Chodesh Nisan is the special category. It's the quintessential Rosh Chodesh. And in a sense, the Torah spends time talking about the Karban Musaf of Rosh Chodesh Nisan as a category to itself, and only sort of as an afterthought says, oh, and by the way, the other 11 months of the year, you should do something similar to what you do on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Right? Clearly the Torah is setting up a system where it sees Rosh Chodesh Nisan as being in a separate category from the other Rosh Chodeshim. That would seem to dovetail very nicely with what has been done in Klal Yisrael since the time of the Mishnayos, the notion that Rosh Chodesh Nisan is given special prominence as being Parshas HaChodesh. Right? In other words, that on Rosh Chodesh Nisan or on the Shabbat before Rosh Chodesh Nisan, right, that ideally it's meant to be if Rosh Chodesh Nisan comes out on a Shabbat, that's really Shabbat HaChodesh. We do something to mark Rosh Chodesh Nisan as being particularly special. And you may say we also do that for Rosh Chodesh Adar, because Parshas Shkalim. Yeah, but that isn't really a celebration of Rosh Chodesh Adar per se. That's really a celebration or a commemoration of the fact that in the beginning of Adar they would start collecting the Matzos HaShefer. In that case, it happens to be sort of an accident, if you will, that the collection of the Matzos HaShefer was linked to Rosh Chodesh Adar. But when it comes to the laying of Parshas HaChodesh on or around Rosh Chodesh Nisan, there it's clear that we're celebrating the special nature of Rosh Chodesh Nisan as being distinct and unique in its own right. And that fits in well with this idea of Rav Moshe HaKohen HaSfardi that Rosh Chodesh Nisan is, in a category by itself. It's not just another Rosh Chodesh, it's in a sense the quintessential Rosh Chodesh, and all other Rosh Chodeshim derive their power, as it were, from Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Interesting idea which comes out over here. Now, if you look a little bit further in the Pesukim, Rav Moshe HaKohen HaSfardi referenced Pasuk Yudalud, Zos Olas Chodesh B'Chodesha B'Chodesha Hashana. This is the karbon of Chodesh B'Chodesha, right? A month in its month, B'Chodesha Hashana, for all the months of the year. What's the expression Chodesh B'Chodesha? So here too you have an interesting comment of the Ibn Ezra where he shows that a pasuk that's very familiar to us lends itself to a different interpretation. Says the Ibn Ezra, B'chodesha, kimo Shabbos b'Shabbato. The phrase Chodesh b'Chodesha, month in a month, literally, is similar to the phrase Shabbos b'Shabbato, which we have right before this in the Sedra, Olas Shabbos b'Shabbato, And Shabbos to Shabbat means from Shabbos to Shabbos, not from week to week. So Chodesh to Chodesh means from month to month. But again, it's consistent with what the Ibn Ezra quoted from Moshe HaKohen Asfardi, that you know, you should not only do this for Chodesh Nisan, but do it Chodesh to Chodesh, so do it month by month as a commemoration of the new month. What would I think otherwise? What's the alternative explanation of Chodesh to Chodesh? So that's the Ibn Ezra. Hula Yitachin Bo Alderach Hapshat Pirush Acher Ki'ein Vaposuk Zecher Vayoreach. There's no other simple interpretation of this phrase, because the phrase doesn't mention the moon at all. What? What did he say? There's no other interpretation of this phrase, because the phrase doesn't mention the moon at all. Sounds like some kind of code for the CIA. Right? The eagle has landed. The pasuk doesn't mention the moon at all. Who was talking about the moon? So to understand this Ibn Ezra, you have to understand who is he criticizing, right? In other words, clearly that there was another pshat over here which the Ibn Ezra is rejecting, right? Which has something to do with the moon. But what's he referring to? So if you look in the Targum Onkelos on the pasuk, the Targum Onkelos translates this phrase as follows into Aramaic. Do alas resh yarcha the if hadasuse. This is the carbon of the resh yarcha rosh chodesh, right, the beginning of the yarach, right, which is the month. This is the carbon of the rosh chodesh, the if hadasuse, when it is renewed. When what is renewed? When the moon is renewed. In other words, every new month, the moon is renewed. This is the carbon you should bring when the moon is renewed on a monthly basis. In other words, if you go back to the Hebrew, the way the Targum apparently reads the Hebrew is Zos Olas Chodesh Bechidusho. This is the carbon of Rosh Chodesh. The Chodesho means the Chidusho, in its act of renewal. Bring the carbon when the moon is being renewed on a monthly basis. It's that interpretation which the Ibn Ezra is referencing and rejecting. He says, Chodesh the Chodesho doesn't mean the carbon of the Chodesh when the moon is being renewed. Who said anything about the moon? Where do you see anything in the Pasuk about the moon? It doesn't say anything about the moon. That's his complaint. Right? The word b'chadsho doesn't mean b'chidusho. It just means chodesh b'chadsho, month by month. And then he adds, v'od, ki lo mosonu zos hamilo ki imi yadini ha-kovid ha-dogush, v'ini ha-dalid rofe. Moreover, you know, the word is b'chadsho, which would seem to indicate that, you know, it's a derivative of the word chodesh and not of the word chodosh or chidush, which would seem to indicate renewal on some level. What's going on over here? In other words, why does the Targum Onkelos feel compelled to give the interpretation that he does? Zos olas chodesh b'chidusho, and why is the Ibn Ezra so adamant in pushing back against this interpretation? It would seem that the Onkelos, what motivates the Targum Onkelos to give the interpretation that he does is the issue which the Ibn Ezra was dealing with earlier. Namely, the Ibn Ezra is bothered, why do you need this phrase at all? Zos olas chodesh b'chadsho l'chadshei hashana. What does it add? Right? This is the carbon which we bring every month for all the months of the year. I know that. If you started off the paragraph by saying, you should bring this carbon. So I know, this is the carbon that you've got to bring every month. What did you add by this phrase? So the Ibn Ezra's answer to that question, based on Rav Moshe HaKohen Asfardi, is that the first pasuk in the paragraph of Rashi Chashechem, Hakribu Olal Hashem, is saying that you have to bring this carbon on the Chodesh Nisan. And then the latter pasuk, Zos Olas Chodesh B'Chadsho, is saying, and by the way, it's adding, you have to bring the carbon every single Rosh Chodesh of the year, not just the Rosh Chodesh Nisan. But if you interpret Uvroshi Chashechem Hakribu Olal Hashem as every Rosh Chodesh you should bring this carbon, which, by the way, seems to be the way the Targum Unkel of Zohar interpreted it. Uvreshe yarchechem to karvan alos the kodem Hashem. I'm the chodesh, right? I'm your lofty chodeshim. You should bring a karvan for Hashem. So that's how you interpret the pasuk. So then, what do you do with zos olas chodesh bechodsho lechodshe hashavah? Right? What do you do with that pasuk? So if you look, Rashi is actually sensitive to this based on his history. Rashi writes, Zos Olas Chodesh B'Chodesho, he writes, Shim Ovar Yomo Botel Karbono V'Shuv Eilo Tashlumin. What happens, the guy wakes up the day after Rosh Chodesh and says, all the Kohanim wake up the day after Rosh Chodesh, not our Kohanim, all the Kohanim, right? The Kohanim wake up the day after Rosh Chodesh and they say, you know, yesterday we knew there was something. Yesterday was Rosh Chodesh, we blew it, we forgot to bring the Karbon Mitzvah. Maybe we could bring it on days. Right? Because after all, it's a carbon to mark the beginning of the month. So, I don't know, we didn't get in the beginning of the month, so, you know, we'll get it on the sort of beginning of the month. You know? Maybe it's like Kiddush Levana. Maybe you have till, you know, till the middle of the month to be able to bring the carbon mussaf. Comes the Pasuk and says, Zos Olas Chodesh V'chidusho. This is the carbon of Rosh Chodesh that's brought when the moon has been renewed. On that day of renewal, you can bring the carbon. After the day of renewal has passed, in other words, as the moon is beginning already to wax, you lost your opportunity. You can't bring the carbon anymore. This man hara'iyah, it probably would, right? In other words, well, let's put it this way. The chidusha, which is referred to over here, is not necessarily the astronomical chidusha, but it's when the halacha acknowledges the chidush of the moon. In other words, you know, the halacha deems this day to be Rosh Chodesh, so this is the chidush halavana for halakhic purposes, and any subsequent days, you know, are too late already. So what's prompting Rashi to, and what's prompting the Sifri to say that the interpretation of the pasuk is Shimav Ayom Abotel Karbano? If you misbring the Karban Musaf on Rosh Chodesh, it's too late. You know, there's no Tashlum and you can't bring it afterwards. So, again, presumably Rashi and the Sifri are working off of this question. They're bothered by this question. What does this pasuk add? Right? This pasuk doesn't add anything. According to, you know, so that's what the Targum Onkelos is doing as well. The Targum Onkelos is of one piece with Rashi and the Sifri to tell you that the carbon has to be brought to Chidusho, right? In other words, the carbon can only be brought on Rosh Chodesh and not a day later. However, the Ibn Ezra pushes back against this interpretation because Lishchit also, since he adopted the position of Rav Moshe HaKohen HaSfarzi that sees in these words an extension of the carbon Moshe from Rosh Chodesh Nisan to all of the other Rosh Chodeshim during the year, he already has a perfectly fine interpretation of this pasuk, and need not give it any other interpretation, particularly because, according to the Ibn Ezra, the other interpretation doesn't fit the pshat and doesn't fit the grammar of the pasuk. Right, so presumably not, but if you were to ask the Ibn Ezra, how do I know that, he would say, it's not from this pasuk, right? You know, or perhaps we would use this pasuk in a drash kind of way to say that, but certainly the pshat in this pasuk doesn't relate to the idea that the carbon musaf has to be offered on, you know, Rosh Chodesh and not a day later. According to Rashi and Targum Onkelos, it's a little bit funny according to Rashi, but again, I don't know if that bothers Rashi so much. In other words, according to Rashi, it doesn't have to flow so nicely necessarily. According to Rashi, it's another fact about the carbon Rosh Chodesh. By the way, you should know that you have to bring it on that day and there's no tashlum if you miss it. Now, the last pasuk in the Pasha of Rosh Chodesh, also a famous one, a famous Rashi on this, here is an echo l'chakos l'Hashem. You should bring as part of the carbon musaf a goat l'chakos l'Hashem as a sin offering for Hashem. Simple pshat is that Hashem is the recipient of this sin offering, right? You offer up the karbanos to Hashem. And of course that begs the question, all of the karbanos are offered up to Hashem. Why specify that the goat of the chatos of Rosh Chodesh is Lashem, is to Lashem any more than any other carbon. So Rashi quotes over here, famous Gemara, the Nishtan of Fir Rosh Chodesh Shenema Bo Lashem, the goat that's offered up on Rosh Chodesh is different than other karbanos, where it says L'chatos L'Hashem. Medrasho Ba'agoda, the Medrash which explains this says as follows. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu says God, Haviu Kapora Olai, Halshemi Asati Is Hayoreya. Bring the karbon as an atonement for me, says God, because I am the one who diminished the light of the moon, right? The Medrash famously tells us that in the beginning of creation, the sun and the moon were of equal sizes. The moon complained, so God said, oh, you're complaining? I'll make you smaller and diminish the light of the moon. And yet, Chazal seems to indicate, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kivyachol, you know, as it were, feels guilty over having diminished the moon. So he asks Klal Yisrael, every Rosh Chodesh, when we're reminded of the diminished light of the moon, bring a carbon chatos, a sin offering, as a kapara for me, for God. So that's what the Pesuk says, l'chatos l'Hashem, as a sin offering for God himself. Now, clearly this is a very difficult statement in Chazal, to understand on a surface level. What do you think? You're bringing a carbon to atone for Hashem? Right? Very, very bizarre. So again, a lot of ink has been spilled trying to understand this. But the Ibn Ezra takes the most straightforward approach to this whole pasuk. He writes as follows: Da ki chatos im lamed b'loshen hakodesh, eina chatos dovek ki im vachote. Halosire v'chatosi le'ovi. Says the Ibn Ezra, we see throughout Tanakh that whenever the term chatos, sin, is followed by the prefix lamed, you know, the noun that's attached to the lamed is always the person who will be the victim of the sin, not the perpetrator of the sin. Right? And he brings as an example the chatosi la'avi, when Yehuda promises to bring Binyamin back to Yaakov Avinu, Yehuda says to Yosef, I better bring my brother back to my father, or the chatosi la'avi kol hayomim, I will have sinned to my father forever and ever. I'll be guilty of having sinned to my father forever and ever. So there's the chatosi la'avi. It's not that my father sinned, it's that I will have sinned against my father. So similarly, says the Ibn Ezra, you know, Sir Ibn Echad l'chatos l'Hashem doesn't mean as a chatos to atone for Hashem. It's the chatos, you know, that we have sinned to Hashem. It's a chatos, the sin offering for us, where we have sinned against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu in some way or another has sinned against us. Right? So, says Ibn Ezra, the grammar of the pasuk indicates that it's not that God, you know, God forbid, you know, has sinned and needs atonement, it's that we have sinned to Hashem and we need to bring him a carbon chatos. So he named the hetech hadrash. Now this is the opposite of the drash of the homiletic interpretation of Chazal, because as we just got to quoting from Rashi, Chazal indicate that the carbon musaf of Rosh Chodesh is supposed to be in some ways an atonement for Hashem, and says to Ibn Ezra that is not what the simple reading of the pasuk supports at all. Rak yesh lo sod. But you should know that there is a secret which is contained here. And in typical enigmatic Ibn Ezra fashion, he allows the secret to remain a secret. Right? In other words, there's a secret over here, but ha, you know, I'm not going to tell you. So if you stick around after Maariv, one of the very beautiful things about the Ozvahada editions of the Chumashim, which we were privileged to have donated to the show, is that besides all of the other wonderful aspects of the Chumash, there's an extensive section of the Luim of extra material at the end of the Chumash, and there the authors of the Ozvahada Chumashim quote a manuscript of the Ibn Ezra's commentary where he actually tips his hand a little bit and reveals the secret. So, you know, you got to stick around after Myron to get the full-fledged aspect of the secret, but for those who want to stick around after Myron, we'll talk a little bit about the secret that's inherent over here that's revealed by the Ibn Ezra, and what he says is, you know, really going on over here in this whole discussion about, you know, what it means to bring a hafos Hashem, to bring a sin offering for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, let's pick up after Myron. I'm having a kasha on that. Rasa HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rezakos of Yisrael. Welcome to part two of the Shirin of the Ibn Ezra Pasha Sinkos. So we left off on the pasuk that describes how the Shir Ezim, the goat, is brought as a carbon chatos on a part of the Musaf Rosh Chodesh. And then the pasuk describes how it's the chatos l'Hashem, the chatos for Hashem. And Ibn Ezra is very adamant that chatos l'Hashem on the simple level means it's a chatos, it's a sin which is brought by people who have sinned against Hashem. In other words, if anyone's doing sinning in the pasuk, it's Klal Yisrael, it's the Jewish people, it's not Chas V'Shalom, the Ribono Shel Olam. And he points out, however, that there's a famous Medrash Chazal which indicates that the karbon is being brought, so to speak, as a kapara, as an atonement for God having been the might, the oreach, for God having minimized the light of the moon, but so to speak, God requires a kapara, an atonement of some sort, to be brought on his behalf. After quoting the drash and pointing out that the drash is not consistent with the simple shot in the pasuk, Ibn Ezra says, however, you should know there's a sod, there's a secret, and there our version of the Ibn Ezra ends. So, as we pointed out right before we broke, in the Ozvahadar version of the Mikros Gedolos, he brings a Ksav Yad, a certain manuscript of the Ibn Ezra, where the Ibn Ezra goes on to explain the secret. And in one of the other works of the Ibn Ezra, the Sefer HaIbur, the Ibn Ezra writes something similar, trying to explain what the secret is. So let me read to you a little bit from the Sefer HaIbur version of the secret revealed by the Ibn Ezra, and then we can talk about it a little bit. Hinei kein chatus l'shchodesh, v'avur chatus acheyem shechatu l'ashem. Right? The simple interpretation of the chatos, the sin offering of Rosh Chodesh, is that it atones for others, the Jewish people, who have sinned against Hashem. However, he may afarish l'chol tam hadrash. Let me explain to you the reasoning behind the homiletic interpretation of Chazal. Ki lo yipol dovah medivri kamonei uzal arsa. Very striking language. Says the Ibn Ezra, you should know that no expression of our forebears, of the Chachamim, just falls by the wayside and falls to the floor. In other words, even things which they say, which are not the simple interpretation of the pasuk, nonetheless are not to be dismissed. They just have to be understood on a deeper level. And he goes on to explain a little bit about astronomy and astrology. And he says, "Dinei or hakochavim." The light produced by other stars is not as deficient as the light produced by the moon. Because we know, and again, you know, 2017 this is taken as common knowledge, in the Middle Ages this was not as obvious, but certainly as it is, but we know with foolproof that the moon doesn't generate its own light. It's only reflected light from the sun. We know this scientifically, he writes. So he says, as the sun forms a different angle with the moon during the course of the month, since the moon only has reflected light, that's why scientifically the moon waxes and wanes. Hashem siva laso soyer chatos, ki Hashem hu asiva harisha lechesrom ora. So what Chazal mean, says in Ezra, when they say that we have to bring the carbon chatos as to atone for God, so to speak, it's because God made this celestial body that has a deficient source of light. You know, all the other heavenly bodies that produce light produce their own light. The moon produces reflected light. And in a sense, you know, the moon could have a taina to Ribbono Shel Olam, so to speak. You know, the moon could come and say, Ribbono Shel Olam, you know, why don't you make me second best? Right? So the Ibn Ezra doesn't get involved in the whole Gemara and Chulin, where, you know, the Gemara presents, you know, why was it that the moon was second best? The moon originally, you know, had its own light, and then it complained, and then I thought Baruch Hu, you know, minimized the light. Apparently, the Ibn Ezra understands that Gemara in Chulin is not of one piece with the Gemara in Shavuos, where the Gemara says, bring the carbon Rosh Chodesh as a kapara for Hashem, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu minimized the light of the moon. In other words, in Shavuos, when the Gemara speaks about HaKadosh Baruch Hu minimizing the light of the moon, it just simply means God made a moon which only produces reflected light. It doesn't generate its own light. Again, ignoring the Gemara story in Masech Chulin, right? The Gemara within Shavuos doesn't bring that story in. So, you know, so the Ibn Ezra's understanding, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course, doesn't have to apologize for anything. The fact that, you know, that something exists is reason enough to give thanks to the Ribbono Shel Olam. But on some level, the Ribbono Shel Olam feels bad, that the moon feels bad, that its light is not of the same quality as that of the sun. So, although, again, says the Ibn Ezra, that's a drash, it's not the simple interpretation of the pasuk. You know, the drash is indicating, I think if I could read into the words of the Ibn Ezra, the drash is indicating the incredible, incredible sensitivity that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was teaching us, that, you know, even an object, an inanimate object, which in theory could have complaints against the Ribbono Shel Olam, why is genetically defective? HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels the need to address that and appease that on some level. Again, obviously all of this is to be understood non-literally, but, you know, like so many descriptions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that are anthropomorphic, you know, that describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu in human terms, the lesson is supposed to be, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so, you know, so sensitive in dealing with others, how much more so should you and I be sensitive when dealing with others? Even people who really have no complaint against us, but have a perceived complaint against us, you know, we have to be extra sensitive in acknowledging their feelings and trying to make them, you know, feeling better about it in some way. Right, okay, right.
Now, also, the moon is considered as our atomic.
Right.
So, maybe the ratio comes up only in the bottom, because the moon is in fact where it was, maybe there won't be a need for a process anymore, maybe there won't be a need for a process.
Yeah, okay. Well, you could suggest like that. You could suggest that, 100%. Yeah. Right. So, again, this is interesting because it's the statement of the Ibn Ezra himself. I mean, it brings us to realize, by the way, that, you know, just like Chazal say, Divrei Torah Ashir b'makamecha v'aniyah b'makamecha, that, you know, sometimes you need to supplement, you know, something that's, you know, obscure in one area in Chazal can be supplemented by sources in other places in Chazal. Here too, the Ibn Ezra, okay, you know, so there's a lost manuscript which fills in. But besides that, Ibn Ezra wrote a sefer, the Sefer HaYibur, where he discusses this issue, which in his commentary on the Chumash, he just said it's a secret. You know, we don't fully understand it. You know, in other places, he's more willing to discuss the secret at some more length. and, you know, give us a little bit of background in it. So sometimes, you know, you have to do a little bit of detective work, I guess, to get the full picture of where the Ibn Ezra is coming from. The attitude of the Ibn Ezra towards Chazal, again, I think is incredibly noteworthy. The Ibn Ezra is very adamant that the simple reading of the Pasuk does not support the interpretation that Chazal gives to the Pasuk, but that doesn't bother him. It doesn't bother him because Chazal were giving a homiletic interpretation to the Pasuk, not necessarily the simple pshat, right? But they were giving a homiletic interpretation to the Pasuk, which has tremendous value as well, right? It's meant to teach us something. And that also is worthy of study and reflection, even if, you know, the Ibn Ezra can say in the very same sentence, but I don't think it's pshat. If you're asking me what the Pasuk means on the simplest level, you know, it doesn't mean that the carbon chatos is atoning for God. It's an atonement that we offer for our sins to God, right? But yes, the interpretation of Chazal is something that we have to reckon with and understand, you know, even while acknowledging that it's not necessarily the simple shot.
I want to ask you, what we said about the moon,
right. In other words, that which was novel in the Middle Ages, you know, in other words, Ibn Ezra is saying this, like, you know, and by the way, you know, we've got proof to this idea that the moon is reflected light. That was a novel concept in the Middle Ages. You know, but now, you know, the novelty is worn off somewhat.
But also, the idea of, you know, the moon feeling bad and the sun being punished or complaining or whatever, isn't that also referred to as anthropomorphic? That, in other words, it symbolizes
symbolic. Right. It's depicting the moon in human terms. But I think the Ibn Ezra's understanding of the Maimar Chazal, of you are like Hapar al Shemiyasati as Hayareya, is independent of the. What's that? It's independent of the Gemara Chulin, you know, that tells that story about, you know, the rivalry, you know, so to speak, between the sun and the moon. Okay, next week, I think we'll actually be back to Wednesday. Chiddush, we'll actually have this year Wednesday night. So we're looking forward to that, and we'll pick up then. We'll have a bit of cash over and rough, I call it tomorrow, for the classes, if you throw.